Well, what was the message that President Zelensky was seeking to send people in this country and indeed around the world in this latest address to a parliament? We can talk to Donacha Bachoin, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. We're joined also by Dr. Victoria Fathercak, who is a lecturer in European Studies at the Norwegian University, originally from Ukraine and also for a time teaching at Maynooth University here. Victoria, very good afternoon to you and to Donacha. Thank you both for joining us. Perhaps I can come first to you, Victoria. We listened to President Zelensky's address to the Dáil and Seanad. It was the first opportunity he'd had to speak to a national parliament since the evidence of the killings in Bucha emerged. And as he has, I think, in many of these addresses, he began with speaking about events overnight in Ukraine, what's been happening in the last number of days.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. Good afternoon. Indeed, I've heard many addresses of our president, and he tends to illustrate that things that people might have seen over the couple of days were not really catching up with things. He illustrates that what is really going on the ground and that things are happening 24/7. So if people could not follow things on their own local news, they would not really know what's going on. So he tends to illustrate what is happening so that people will be up to speed, so to speak. Because all Ukrainians, no matter where we are, we wake up in the morning, check in if our cities are standing, numbers of casualties, how many ballistic missiles were flying over the Ukrainian airspace, etc., how many were shot. So it's like our daily routine. That's also how we go to sleep. We check in what's happening, and then we go to sleep. So I think he illustrates basically what's the current situation, what happened in the 24 hours. This is our daily routine for every one of us, including him as well.
So he lays out the evidence, the grounds for what came a little later in his address, which is, again, and he's done this before, to urge, and he says the time for procrastination, for indecision is over on this, to urge much more significant, widespread and extensive sanctions by, in our case, the European Union against Russia.
Yes, for sure. So the situation on the sanctions, I mean, I've written substantially about it, so I had different views of the sanctions before the invasion and afterwards. The important thing for the EU and anyone who's working with the EU and anyone in the West is actually to continue with the sanctions. Why? Because sanctions are weakening the Russian military apparatus, its political apparatus, and which supports war. So not having the spare parts, not having this supply of whatever products they have, strengthening sanctions can weaken the adversary, and also this, the more it's going to be done, the sooner it's going to be done, the more weights of sanctions we have, the sooner we can finish this war. Because at the end of the day, everyone wants to get back to their sovereignty and fixing things that were damaged in our country.
Donacha Bachoin, to what extent, listening to his comments, do you think that they were tailored to the Dáil and Seanad and to an Irish audience?
Well, realistically speaking, I mean, when I'm talking to different audiences, I'm conscious about various situations. So I think, I mean, the message is the same as it was sent to every parliament or government that our president was talking to. I mean, obviously, when he was emphasizing making distinction between political neutrality and military neutrality, it was aimed at Ireland because of the distinctive Irish situation with neutrality. So I think it is important to make these small points about the audience you're addressing, meaning the specific political regime, but also military neutrality of the country. So I think that was done.
And Donacha, if I can bring in Donacha Bachoin, Donacha, the fact that President Zelensky did acknowledge, if you like, and maybe it's a finer point that people outside this country might find difficult to grasp, the nature of our neutrality.
Yeah, there were lots of interesting aspects to this speech. It's obviously the most important speech, I think, relating to Irish-Ukrainian relations, despite 30 years of bilateral diplomatic relations. I mean, he mentioned that, yes, Ireland was a neutral country, but that, of course, in the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and this war of the Kremlin against Ukraine, Ireland was not neutral, and he thanked Ireland for that. I thought it was significant as well that he highlighted Russia's use of hunger as a weapon and as an instrument of domination, one that would, of course, resonate with an Irish audience. And of course, there were some requests there as well for Ireland to show more leadership in convincing EU partners to impose more rigid sanctions against Russia, particularly on things like oil income. And there was a kind of a generalized criticism in Europe of business and political leaders who think more about making profits than they do about, you know, punishing those responsible for war crimes. But he thanked Ireland when he said that for their principled approach. So there was a lot there for an Irish audience. Mm. And you have to remember, of course, that President Zelensky has visited Ireland just 2 years before becoming president. He had a concert in Drogheda. He spent 3 days in Ireland with his wife. So it's a country that he's familiar with. And as I said, our relationship is now all the stronger by virtue of the fact that we established an embassy in Ukraine for the first time last year. So this speech kind of builds on that as well.
What he didn't do was dwell on Ireland's own history, our own struggle for independence, perhaps for very good reasons that there are, from Ukraine's point of view, wider issues here.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, he didn't want it to be reported in Britain that, you know, he was making direct parallels between, you know, British colonialism in Ireland and Russian colonialism in Ukraine. That's kind of a realistic approach to take for any speechwriter. So he focused on the contemporary relationship between Ireland and Ukraine and thanking Ireland for its support from the beginning and looking to the future. He said that a new page had been opened because of Ireland's, you know, unconditional support, that a new page had opened in Irish Ukrainian relations. But it has been a technique of his, a very successful technique, these speeches to national parliaments as an instrument of foreign policy, always picking on those aspects which will resonate with the local population. And he mentioned the Berlin Wall, for example, to the German legislature, Churchill to the UK legislature in 9/11, and Pearl Harbor to the United States Congress. So he had kind of a similar format today, and I think it was quite a success. And of course, he received a standing ovation from the deputies and senators.
And in relation, Victoria, to this urging that he made on Ireland to show more leadership, was the phrase he used, convince EU partners to introduce more sanctions on Russia. How does he see the kind of role that Ireland can play in that, clearly, that Ukrainian campaign for much tougher sanctions?
Well, realistically speaking, we're talking about political will, internal political will, if you want me to put it this way, which can be then projected to the stronger foreign policy lobbying of greater sanctions or more detailed sanctions against Russia in the EU. So realistically speaking, that's pretty much leadership in the EU that can be performed by Ireland. But also, I think Ireland has a very good standing in the EU because we're talking about humanitarian aspect of it. And Ireland has great history of that. And I think that part was also mentioned by our president. So I think to project soft power, I mean, to an extent, to convince, to lobby interests of Ukrainian people, I think Ireland has great opportunities to do that in the EU. But also it's going to show a stronger Ireland in the EU, where its positions are.
We leave it there, Victoria Fathercheck and Donacha O'Bacho, and thank you both very much.